listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Coulson. This is Minute 68. This minute begins the way the last ended, with a point of view shot from David's suit camera, and ends with David discovering the ampule room. David finds a lost probe with no difficulty. It emits a red glow and ghostly whines and whimpers. David appears that he's most robotic here, perhaps because he is essentially alone, he's not performing for anyone. He begins the minute unexpressive, though we can observe shifting micro-expressions throughout this scene. Part of this uncanny effect can be attributed to performance, but it may also be because he's bathed in red light, which makes everything look unnatural. It obscures finer details, giving David a mannequin-like appearance. David observes the pup with a curious expression. It's clear that the pup is not defective at all, simply encountered a door but detected more to explore on the other side. Much like a real dog, it wastes no time racing ahead once David unlocks the door. Meanwhile, David's expression shifts from curiosity to awe. We don't immediately see the room, and his reaction is subtle. He doesn't even utter a word, but we can tell that this means something to him. We enter a chamber filled with an untold number of ampules arranged in unusual but deliberate structures that extend from floor to ceiling. The pup really enhances this scene with its red light sweeping across the environment. It creates more depth and size. We get a shot from behind as David enters the room. Interesting to note that, because he's carrying his helmet in one hand and the torch in the other, the strangeness of his walking gait is less noticeable. It's when his arms are free and at his sides that something seems off. David and Vickers don't say a word to each other in this minute, and I know so many other films would have the characters constantly chatting and explaining everything they're observing, but here it's really not necessary. The moment is more impactful because it's conveyed through spectacular visuals and music. We're allowed to have our own response to it rather than being told how to feel or what to think. And that's pretty much all for this minute, which gives us time to read from the script. This is from Jonathan Spaight's Alien Engineers script, pages 62 to 68. I'm going to repeat a little bit from the last time I read the script, just so you can follow what's going on. Lower passage. Holloway and Watts passed the dead engineers they discovered the previous day. Watts. We found the tomb of the gods and brought grave robbers right to the door. Holloway. Let them search. This find's too big to ruin. There's 24 pyramids on this moon. Anyway, they're on the wrong track. That's infrastructure. Holloway plays his flashlight over the biomechanical apparatuses aligning the walls. The core activity of the complex was down here. They turn a corner. Dead engineers lie scattered over the floor in front of them, desiccated and skeletal, long dead. Watts moves among them, fascinated. These engineers all died of explosive chest wounds, ribs bent outward from within. They are otherwise unmarked. Holloway's more interested in the mechanisms, high-tech iron maidens built to fit the bodies of giants. Some suggest sitting positions, others standing. Their design is invasive, meant not merely to embrace, but to penetrate, to fuse. Watts. Something different killed these. Shadowy colonnade. Watts and Holloway explore a wide colonnade. She is still distracted by the ancient dead. He, by the machinery. Holloway walks down a narrow, branching hall, so intent on the mechanisms in the walls, he almost doesn't see the air shaft plunging down into the darkness in front of him. He stops just in time, turns back. A ghost appears right in front of him, a giant dragging himself across the floor, his monstrous visage eye to eye with Holloway and looming closer. Holloway leaps back with a gasp and falls down the shaft. The ghost stares after him as if watching his fall, disappears in a puff of static. Watts crosses down the main colonnade, searching. Martin? Martin! An iris door closes over the shaft. Searching, Watts walks anxiously through the dark, sweeping with her light. Shouting for Holloway, she breaks into a run. Catacombs, Milburn's resting place. Yannick and Stillwell stand aghast, their flashlights illuminate a hideous sight. Milburn lies dead on the deck, his body contorted in agony. His head inside his helmet is gnawed down to the bone. Stillwell, what happened to him? Stillwell removes the dead man's helmet. The centipede scuttles out onto the deck, doubled in size. Stillwell leaps back with a cry. Yannick pulls his pistol, puts 3 rounds through the bug. It dies in a spray of acid that burns holes in the black floor. Yannick watches in astonishment as a pinprick dot of acid eats a pit in his gun barrel. Downs, off-screen. Captain? Downs approaches, holding pieces of a scattered helmet. A stenciled letter on the helmet reads, Fifield. Yannick's jaw clenches grimly. His voice is resigned. Yannick, where's the rest of him? Downs, no sign. All right, we're done here. All hands back on board. Stillwell, what about Milburn? They look down at the ravaged corpse. Yannick, we can't bring the body aboard. God knows what's in there. Bag him, we'll put him in an ore hopper. Interior, Magellan, Vickers' suite. The Vickers stares at her holography terminal. It displays Yannick's helmet cam view, Milburn's body, sealed in clear plastic in the bed of a cargo rover. Yannick, voiceover, filtered. Repeat, I have two men down. I'm pulling my crew back to the ship. I'd advise you do the... What's voiceover breaking in, filtered. Please, anyone. I need help. Martin's missing. Vickers looks nervously from one video feed to the next. Yannick, voiceover, filtered. What's? Where you at? Vickers turns. Captain Shepard stands behind her, watching. She strives to control the quaver in her voice. Captain Shepard, consider yourself responsible for my personal security. Catacombs, juncture. Watts stands beside Yannick's rover in a wide, dark passageway. Yannick, I've just lost a third of my crew. I'm not sending any more men off into the dark. Watts, we can't leave Martin out there. Yannick, get Vickers to lend you some soldiers. Watts, furiously. She says her forces are committed. Yannick sighs, glances at the rover. Milburn dead in the back. Stillwell, Downs, and Kamarov looking jumpy and eager to go. Downs shakes his head grimly. No way. David, off-screen. I'll stay. David steps out of the dock, calm as ever. A slim machine gun hung over his shoulder. Can't imagine David packing heat, but okay. He doesn't need it. You can just snap your neck with his hands, but maybe not this version of David, I guess. David continued. You'll be safe. Watts. Thank you. Magellan, day. Yannick and his crew unload Milburn's body from the rover. Yannick. Put him in the number one ore hopper. Get the scrubbers on in the airlock. Sterilize everything. Minutes later, Stillwell uses a remote to lower an ore hopper from the belly of the ship. A thick steel bin on heavy chains. He loads the body bag into the hopper. Interior, Magellan, airlock. The crewmen enter one at a time, blasted by sterilizing sprays and radiations. Interior, lower passage. David and Watts move through the dark. She searches with her flashlight beam. David looks around in the dark as if the catacomb were illuminated, rapt admiration on his face. You and Holloway should work with me. I'm learning amazing things, this mechanism. The first layer uses energy fields to catalyze chemical reactions. The second can suspend the strong and weak forces, transmuting one element into another. The third layer builds customized bacteria, seeds the air with them, creates life as a tool to change worlds. I can't think about this now. You should. I understand. You're emotional. I'm human. That's what I mean. Interior, Magellan, bridge, dusk. Yannick stands on the bridge, looking out at the fading light. A towering wall of cloud rushes over the horizon. A storm front rolls across the holographic globe. Interior, pyramid, lower passage. David and Watts keep searching. Their communicators crackle. Yannick, voiceover, filtered. Watts, we got another storm front coming in. Looks like it follows the sunset line. If you're coming in, you better do it now. Watts, angrily. No. David, I see light. Watts squints in the darkness. She sees nothing. Watts, Yannick, hang on. She sees it. A dim light bobbing far ahead in the passageway. She runs forward. Finds Holloway staggering blarily toward her, leaning on the wall. His helmet and most of his gear are missing. Only his chest lamp shines. Watts. We've got him! Martin, where's your helmet? He's disoriented. He stares at her face for a moment before she registers. His teeth chatter. He's freezing. Broken. I fell. A little disoriented. He waves a hand vaguely at the tunnels behind him. Dave removes his own helmet, fits it over Holloway's head. Here, I can do without this. Which is something I always imagined they were going to do. Like, you put... I think I mentioned before, putting a suit on David could actually be beneficial because you've always got a backup that the wearer doesn't actually need and it's not taking up any additional space. Watts, Let's get you home. Exterior, Magellan, airlock, lift, dusk. David, bareheaded in the winds, walks Watson Holloway onto the airlock. David looks over his shoulder at the canal leading back to the central crater. As the airlock lift begins to rise, he steps backward, out into the storm, turns and runs through the gale toward the pyramid. Watts watches him go in astonishment. I don't really get a look at David running full speed. I'm sure it would be very Terminator and terrifying. He runs towards the ship at the end of Covenant, but that's about it, and I don't remember what that looks like, but I'm not going to check right now because I'm reading a script, so... Interior, Magellan, excursion chamber. Watts helps Holloway out of his spacesuit. Yannick looks on. Yannick, I didn't think I'd see you again. You know, we lost two men. Holloway still looks too wary to think straight. He nods. Holloway, she told me. I'm sorry. He stands abruptly, swaying a little. Holloway continued. I need to lie down. We'll size things up in the morning. Fair enough. Passageway. Holloway and Watts walk aft towards their cabin. Watts looks worried, but Holloway shows little of the weakness he just claimed to feel. Watts, what happened to you? Holloway, quietly, not here. Scientist cabin, washroom, night. Holloway stands shirtless in the tiny space, brushing his teeth, a red weal around his neck. That's W-E-A-L. Watts stands beside him, watching him in the mirror. Holloway, Jocelyn, I saw something. God, my mouth tastes like an old boot. He spits, rinses. She touches the mark on his neck. What's this? Neck ring of my suit, I think. Fell on it. He rubs his neck, eyes far away. Watts watches him curiously. What did you see? After my fall, I woke up walking, delirious. My helmet wasn't right. I took it off. I was in and out. I just wandered. I went up into a huge space like a cathedral, and I found a model of the galaxy floating in the air. Are you okay? You sound... This was real. My headset video is wherever my helmet is, but my suit tracker will show where I was. He turns to her. Listen, this star map had a marker representing Earth. Very clear. Another marker I'm sure represents this moon, but there were others, at least 7 or 8 more. Watt stares at him, her eyes coming alight. The engineers aren't from here. This moon's just an outpost, abandoned, but if we follow that map, we may yet make contact with a living civilization. Martin. The location of the engineer world is the real prize. Next to that, Weyland's terraforming is chump change. We need to get coordinates and keep them from the company. We have to play this smart. Alright? Two men dead. Vickers is jumpy. As soon as she gets what she wants, she'll take the ship home. We have to move fast. Holloway trembles, a sheen of sweat on his skin. We will. We will. Are you alright? He's frightened. Brazens through it. Pulls her into his arms. I'm fine now. He kisses her. So, ended up reading up till page 70. But that's quite interesting. That makes things a little bit more complicated. So you've got Holloway and Shaw working for their own agenda, and you know they're the ones who really want to meet quote-unquote God, and then the company has their own interests that are totally separate and comparatively smaller. I suppose it's much more financially focused and practical. I'm curious to know how this ends, because I think David is still fascinated by the engineers as well. And I don't know Weyland's agenda in all of this. And we also get a more rational reason for removing the helmet. Not that it matters one way or the other. I have said it before, I do not care. But there you go. They're a bit more sensible. I have read both scripts before, but not recently. So it's kind of fun to uncover it again as I go. And also, it's more meaningful when you're marrying it up with the events in a minute or in an episode. And that way I remember a bit more. Because when I read them the first time, I mean, scripts aren't really meant to be read. And I do have a hard time remembering all of it and the particular continuity, especially when you've got multiple scripts. So I'm trying to keep two scripts straight in my head as well as the plot of the actual Prometheus movie. Alright, that about covers it. This is Coulson signing off. You can find me on TravianDesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.